Hi, this is filmmaker BJ Colangelo, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I'm your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm co-host Gigi Chick.
And today's guest on the podcast is a writer for Nerdbot, co-host of the Occasionalist podcast, screenwriter, and my current love interest, Mr. Adam Chmielewski. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about you guys? How are you doing this evening?
Lovely, now that you're here.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
I feel like this is such a treat for me.
Well, because Gigi's one of my best friends, so like the three of us actually hang out quite a bit.
I do like how you put it so appropriately when you call me your current.
Did you like the current?
I do, actually. Like, it's kind of like how I phrase it sometimes, too.
Adorable.
When you are around. You are around.
When I'm not around.
No, when you are around.
When I have my current love interest. No, like Bill Squire always does that to his girlfriend just to be like a dick. He's always like, so my current girlfriend. And
Right, exactly.
A little qualifier there. Adam's default setting is anxiety.
Yes, it is.
All right. So I'm going to try to have some journalistic integrity here and try not to project my own experiences with you in the last 2 years or so that we've been dating.
I'm sure they're going to happen anyway.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, and we get in tangents too. That's the other thing. We all start randomly yelling about like labes and shitty Uber drivers.
I gotcha.
So we'll get off topic a lot. So how far back do you remember when you say default setting as anxiety? Is it you've always been an anxious person?
If you define anxious, I guess, like, I'm not necessarily the whole, like, twiddling my thumbs over and over kind of thing, but I am noticed that I can't really sit still a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
kind of like an anxious energy almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you fidget a lot?
I believe that I fidget a whole lot.
Really?
Yes, and you're going to see evidence of that this evening here as we do the podcast.
Yes.
And like, it's mainly because it's going to stand out a lot. And it's mainly because number one, we've never done this whole kind of thing before podcast thing. And I, also, I'm not going to lie, like, we just haven't really just designated 1 hour of just like specific conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, there aren't any like TVs on or anything like that in the background. So,
white noise tonight, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, I was literally telling Gigi on the way over here. So full disclosure, the reason we've scheduled this podcast recording the way they have is because my birthday was yesterday and Adam's birthday was the day before.
Yes.
So we thought it would be uber cute and disgusting to do a podcast episode together the week of our birthdays.
We were actually joking earlier about like just foregoing the whole interview process and just turning this into like kind of like a podcast, like lovemaking session.
And it's like we would probably be breaking ground because I don't know of a lot of like live sex podcasts.
What is that podcast
happened right now?
You went there too because I did I got into this really like kind of deep thought once with this whole joke came about. Once we were kind of cracking this little dialogue here via Messenger earlier today. And like, you're right. Like, I don't know if there's a podcast out there where it's just people doing it.
You know what's terrible? So it would have to be...
Maybe in Germany?
Yes, or Amsterdam.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, in John's episode, we were just talking about sex noises. And because he was saying that his friend used to call having sex stirring the macaroni. And I was like, oh my God, that's
exactly what
it sounds like.
Okay.
And then that's what I was telling Pete earlier. I was like, when you hear us going... Like cut off the podcast because that was the end of like the podcast.
Right.
Because we were making stir the macaroni noises.
Right.
But that's the thing. That podcast would pretty much just have to be like two people screaming and that macaroni and cheese noise for like an hour.
Well, you see, I got like really specific with it here.
Yeah.
So like like, right, like, I've never heard of, you know, like, a podcast of people just doing it. And I'm also, like, and I, this is, like, me just being naive here, but there could be this whole subculture of, like, audio porn that, you know, I'm just unaware because, like, I can see, you know, like, I'm not blind.
Because I can see.
And, you know, like, that's kind of, like, you know, I guess the most of it or why you're there.
So, and, yeah, it's more of, like, this... very sensory.
Yes.
Like audio sensory experience.
I mean, there's ASMR. There's the ASMR videos.
Why did I just think of that Dane Cook routine?
He's like,
pickles.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yes.
That's it. Like, ASMR is kind of like audio porn. But from what I understand, it's like, so do you know ASMR? It's like audio sensitive something response. So it's basically people who get like, their entire body gets very relaxed and tingly when they hear people talking like this.
Oh, okay.
And there's like a whole genre of YouTube videos that are devoted to just people talking like this. Like something. But the thing is, it's not pissed off. According to them, they're not sexual. They're relaxing, I guess.
Yeah.
So in that way, it is kind of very much a form of audio porn.
Right.
But you're right. Like, as I was like taking a hit just now when you said that, and sent me into a coughing fit because I was like, holy shit, you're right. You never hear about that being he's really into audible or something like that. And that's like the channel where people make fucking noises for like an hour and a half.
So if you are blind, like, is there like specifically designated blind porn, or you just watch
Braille,
or you just like, you know, listen to like a regular like porn video, you know,
that's a great point. Like, then, what do you get off on?
Yeah. And so like what I was thinking is maybe they have like porn that's specifically designated for the blind, but it's like a little bit different. So like when the girl's like, you know, talking to the guy or something like that, she's probably like, yeah, I'm about to go down on your two index fingered put together length penis, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, what if someone's been blind their whole lives?
Conversation a couple episodes ago about the color red and how blind people don't know what that
when
is.
When I was little, a blind man came into my like fifth grade class to like has like a special guest to talk to us, and I was like, "So do you just see white or black? Like, because your eyes are closed." Mm-hmm. He's like, "I don't know what that is," and I was like, "Like my mind just exploded."
Right.
I was like, "He doesn't even know what those colors mean."
Like, I've always heard blind people describe it as like, they kind of see, like, it almost looks like a giant blur, you know what I'm saying? Like,
The thing is, they don't know the difference between what's a blur and what's, you know, like, in focus.
Right.
It would be helpful, like, there's some people who had their vision, but then lost it, like, later on. Like, that would be a good way to, like,
figure
it
out. I don't think any two forms of blindness are alike either, you know what I mean? Because when you're deaf, you're deaf, you're deaf. But when you're blind, it could be like, you can see shapes, you can see colors, you can see blurs, you can see lines, you can see, like...
Right. Well, I guess like deafness is one of those things where like, I think hearing is kind of like absolute, you know, it's kind of like one of those, if a tree falls in the woods kind of situations where like, no matter what if you're hearing something, you're technically not deaf, you know?
Yeah.
But with sight, I can see there being like, you know, a different variance of ranges and stuff. And I will say that if I was going to go blind, I would definitely prefer to be somebody who at least saw stuff beforehand.
Right. Absolutely.
So when I am, listening to this porn. Exactly.
When you're listening to porn.
It's not like, oh my God, pull on my half of my forearm length hair, you know, like stuff like that.
God, that's so amazing. Like, I've never thought of it in those terms, but you're so fucking right. Like,
I lost 40 minutes to this today.
Now's the time we're going to get high and sit around and talk about stuff.
Yeah, and thank God I, like, actually didn't look up anything because I was at work. I just couldn't have that show up on my computer.
No, wait, so you said we should be seeing a lot of anxiety tonight. Is that what you were saying or before...
Oh, at least we were talking about like the fidgeting and stuff like that. Yes, exactly. Like, I've always described like my anxiety, like, or at least like what I label as anxiety. You guys might, by the end of this whole thing, tell me I'm something completely fucking different for all the hell I know.
That's not what we're here for.
It's always like, and this is like the best possible example. So I want, like, you could just kind of follow through what I'm about to say here. And like, it's kind of like, I, you know, you get up in the morning, like everything's great, okay? Like everything's like totally fine. Of course, it sucks that you're up in the morning. Who the fuck likes getting up in the morning, you know?
And then some weirdos, but not me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So everything's fine. And then maybe like within 2 minutes of you getting up, like, or like as I'm leaving your apartment in the morning, you know, all of a sudden I just start to think like, oh my God, like, what if I left my phone on the side of the bed. She gets up and cracks my phone. You know what I'm saying? So then, like, I'm, like, at the elevator, and I've already checked my bag to, like, to see if I have my phone.
I definitely have seen you do the dance a million times. I'm like, where's my phone? Yeah, where's my wallet?
It's almost like that crossing thing with, like, the religion and stuff like that.
Like, you're just literally like,
So, like, a lot, even believe it, so, like, a lot of, like, you know, one of the things, like, I, you know, prefer to wear, like, the track jacket thing is not, like, some fashion thing that I'm excited about.
Wait, really?
You know?
Yeah, I'm learning so much about my own boyfriend right here in front of your ears, people. This is amazing.
Like, it has more pockets, you know what I'm saying? So there's less opportunity for me to lose stuff.
Oh, shit.
And, like, so, and if you want to, like, you know, explore the root of this whole thing, which, you know, why the we're here for it, why the hell not.
Yeah, get it out.
It's always been, like, something that, it's always been like kind of one of those things that's like in the back of your mind when it comes to just like losing something randomly, you know? And if you want to just talk about like your phone, for example, like, and one of the main reasons I don't want to buy the iPhone X is because that's something that's $1,000 that I could easily just lose.
Yeah.
Your phone, like when you think about it, like this thing is so losable that, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It causes me anxiety just you talking about it. I'm like, oh my God, my entire life is in this cube that's the size of my hand.
Yeah. So like.
Slippery germ brick.
Right, right. And like, so the entire, like, so you have this kind of like, it all starts somewhere. So it maybe like evolves into your phone. So like, it's probably like money to start off with. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been on both ends of this thing where I've, you know, like taken money out of my pocket, money falls out. I've also been on the receiving end of that whole thing where me and my friend are drunkenly walking back from Pitchfork and he asked me, he's like, dude, you dropped $20? And I'm like, no. And then I look on the ground and I see a wad of cash and I'm just like, get the fuck out of here.
Go.
I found like $247 on the ground in Chicago. Yeah, exactly. In cash, too.
You said this is at Forecastle?
In Pitchfork.
In Chicago?
In 2010.
Oh, my God.
In the Giordano's Pizza parking lot. Oh,
no shit.
Because we stayed in this like really shitty hotel that had, going back a little callback here, porn streaming on the TV 24 hours a day.
For free.
For free.
Wow.
And it was really shitty porn,
too. Well, I was going to say, something's got to give somewhere the cost.
Dude,
there.
The toilet in this hotel was like one of your grade school, elementary school toilets, you know, with like the black lid and stuff like that.
I forgot about those.
These people were also like the people who worked at the hotel were also so happy that we paid for three rooms in advance. It was like $65 a night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just bad. So like, you know, this is just kind of the stuff that, I did before I started dating you. Like I will tell you at the like, and just to crack a joke here because I'm trying to phrase this the right way, but at the way least, our relationship has resulted in my preference of okay hotel accommodations.
Well, that sums up Jess for you, everyone.
I didn't mean that.
She's a little bit better than a Motel 6.
I love you very much. we're holding hands as I try to quickly regain her affection.
She's probably a Hampton Inn on the grand scale of things.
Believe me, a Hampton Inn was like a
step up from
where I've
been before. I feel like there's a country song. You could write me a country song about this. Be like, I dated a lot of comfort inns.
Yeah.
But
oh my
then
God.
I found you more comfort inns. Apparently, I'm also a country singer songwriter when I've been smoking weed.
That is like the whole me and the stereotypical Irish jig song that I came up with.
We were decorating the Christmas tree, and for some reason, was it the Pogues? Christmas in New York song.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a song called Christmas Time in New York or Christmas in New York by the Pogues, and they're Irish.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's like na 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 na. Like that's how the song goes. Like I don't really know
most Irish songs,
the words.
Like
yeah.
And then I started to explain to her exactly what every single Irish song is about.
But he explained it in song. So like, I'm putting the star on the trees, like. What did you sing?
Well,
what were the words?
I can't remember the whole.
Like, it was like,
but the last.
He goes down to the pub and he gets him a pint. He finds himself an Irish lass and then he goes home for the night.
Every single Irish song, right there.
And I was like, what song is that? And he's like, no, I just made that up. I was making fun of the Irish. And I'm like, no, you fucking did not. You did not make
and
that
I'm
up.
And I'm part Irish, so that's kind of okay.
He's allowed. I'm also Irish.
Yeah. I got a pass on this one.
Yeah, he got a pass.
And like you all, that's exactly what it is. It all starts in like a country village somewhere, and the hills are greener than every other green you could possibly green. Then there's like a trip to a town, some beer, maybe a hookup or like one of those like romances that may happen, like the 18th century equivalent of a Craigslist I've seen you ad, you know, something like that.
Some like rare form of Irish woman who has like really dark hair and like
green dark, eyes. Yeah. Right. Like emerald eyes.
Yeah. And you're like, wait, who are you talking about?
Does she live in Ireland? Yeah. The not redhead.
Right. Right. The only non redhead in all of Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, and then, you know, then there's some kind of like, you know,
Mom
connection.
Roman guy.
And then the guy goes home.
Yeah.
He goes home
for the night.
Yeah, he either goes home with her or he goes home alone, like finding some new kind of found thing about himself that wasn't necessarily there when he was hanging out in the Green Hills.
She was a pixie girl.
Yeah, exactly. The manic pixie depression.
Yes. Did you hear about that? Did you see his post? He's never heard of manic pixie dream girl before.
I hadn't either.
That
night I learned
and
about
I'm
it.
Telling you, like, as if I got 40 minutes on blind porn, I got hours on the manic pixie dream girl.
My mind was blown. I found out about it. I was like,
fuck
whoa.
Yeah. We're in this restaurant. I'm like, holy shit, how have I never heard about this?
We had
this?
An episode. You guys may have heard it already. It's the one with Tracy McFace. She talks about being a manic pixie dream girl. And Adam asked me what the episode was about that we'd recorded that night. And I told him, and he didn't really say much. I think I kind of explained her away as manic pixie dream girl Zoe Deschanel. And he's a very indie. I like to call my boyfriend the alpha hipster because he gets into a lot of indie music and indie film.
And I'll hipster
like
the shit out of all you hipsters. And I don't look like you either.
Yeah, no, it's true. No. He doesn't. So he, we're sitting at dinner, like at a nice restaurant, like two nights later, out of nowhere, he's just like, so what is it, manic pixie depression weasel? And I like just about died. Like I just like started crying at the table.
It could have easily been a manic pixie depression weasel.
I'm probably that too. I already found out I'm a manic pixie as well.
Oh my God. And then I couldn't stop laughing. And then he was like, no, really, wait, what was it? He was like trying to get it out of me what it was. And I just couldn't stop laughing. All right, so...
Your first
bouts of anxiety, did that start when you were a younger kid? Or?
Yeah, it all started like real. I actually know like the moment that it started, and like I was whatever age I was. Like I can't remember like that far back, but I can remember like the situation. I had lived in Euclid at the time, so this was at least 1995. So however old I was in 1995, and
11.
I remember. Oh, thank you. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thank you so much. And I remember like obsessing over whether or not I left my TV on in my room. And like, I don't know how. It was just like one, like I said, it's just something that like randomly like pops in your mind. Like if you just like left your phone in your apartment in the morning, like that kind of thing. And it got so bad to the point where I remember having to call who I thought was going to end up being my stepsister, my dad's like girlfriend's daughter or whatever, who was like, you know, at the house to actually check to see if my TV was on. And so that's kind of like the like inciting incident, you know what I'm saying? And then like, you know, that kind of like morphs itself into this whole, like we talk about like, you know, the fucking dance and like the pocket pat and all that kind of stuff. And it, you know, it, that kind of like evolved into it. It's almost kind of seems like there always has to be some little like stupid thing that you could, that you have to have to like worry about in some way. You know what I'm saying?
Sounds a little bit like OCD. Not that I'm diagnosing you as such, but like people who have OCD are always worried they left the stove on. They're worried they left their water running. Yeah. They worry they left
checking all the windows,
hair straightener. Right. Yeah. Checking the locks. Yeah.
And like if, and I think like what maybe separate, and I mean, don't get me wrong. Like if I honestly like, I prefer my record collection to be alphabetized. I'm just not taking the time to do it. But like, I would say that like, I think what I think is a dividing line is that like that part always, it's not like the TV every single time. It's something else, you know? And like it, like when we do go travel, like the big thing to focus on is like whether or not I have all my stuff, you know, because it's just like, oh, leave it to that guy to go lose his fucking car keys in Portland. And he didn't even drive his car out there, you know, like stuff like that.
So you said your first thing kind of came out of nowhere that you were just worried about the TV.
Yeah. It was like, I'm telling you, like it, just imagine as if lightning were to strike outside right now. Yeah. And on a day that lightning would not really strike.
Interesting.
That is exactly.
Were there other like specific moments, or was it just kind of, you would notice occasionally like, why am I freaking out about this? Or.
Oh yeah. I mean like from there, like, and I mean, I guess I'd probably say that like, there's probably like a combination of like little things that were building up until the point with the television and stuff. And then, like, I guess from there, it just kind of, like, you know, it kind of grows and becomes, like, in different things. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it may not, like I said, it may not be the TV. Mm. And, you know, maybe, like, me thinking, like, my wallet or something like that. Mm. Or me for no reason thinking somebody is, like, pissed off at me. Okay. You know? Or then it gets even crazier where you maybe don't have, like, the worry thing. Like, you maybe, let's just say you're not up for worrying about something today, but there's still some, like, level of anxiety that you still, like, seem to subconsciously want to carry with you. And, like, it may turn into, like, is so-and-so mad at me? No fucking reason in the world for that. You just are under the impression that so-and-so is mad at you, you know? And it's, like, or even, like, my favorite thing is, like, when your mind is going, like, so fast. It's going, like, you know, you're just, it seems like, you know, you can connect, like, everything in your mind. Like, one thing reminds you of, like, 500 different things, you know? And you'll be, you know, like, you'll be standing in line somewhere, or you'll be, like, just, like, driving, and, like, some type of, like, thing happens. Like, you know, it's either, like, a random thought, maybe, like, the song on there, maybe, like, a song comes on the radio, and, like, you start to remember something really stupid you had done to that song. And it's just, like, you know, why the hell am I really thinking about this particular moment, you know? And then you just kind of, like, you get, like, unnecessarily hung up in this moment that's long in the past, but for some reason you just feel the need to, like, address this stupid point in your life that in the grand scheme of things is completely insignificant.
Right.
And so I think, you know, is like,
You want to say overall it came from a place that was initially unfounded, perhaps?
I would say so.
And since then, have you felt that things that have occurred in your life that would cause anyone anxiety, do you feel that that just sort of affirms anxiety that's already there, or that does it make it worse?
I think that right now, because, like, I've had a lot of experience with it, I could kind of, you know, it's one of these things where, like, I feel like I can identify what merits some anxiety. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, like, when I told you, you know, I had gotten in, like, a little bit of, like, a stupid stint at work, you know what I'm saying? And, like, realistically, like, there's, and you were 100% right, where it's just, like, there is nothing for you to really worry about. Your job's not in jeopardy here, you know? Like, this is this point in time where you need to, like, learn to, like, correct the behavior and stuff like that, and kind of, you know, come to meet the maker of the mistake that you just made and stuff, you know? And that, but in the end, nothing's going to happen, which was, you know, like, basically, like, in a nutshell, your advice and stuff like that. Yeah. And sparing, like, the 45 minutes detail sandwich and stuff in between the front and end of that story. But, so, like, you know, like, in that time period, even though you know in your heart and deep down that everything's going to be okay, you just feel the need to, like, rehash every possible situation.
Yeah.
And then on top of like any, you know, form of, like, really looking at the situation for, like, what it is, you know, you start to rehash and just kind of feel like you basically, like, beat yourself up and stuff. And, but I'm to go and not to, like, go off on too much of a tangent on that, but to get back to what you're saying is that I think that, right now I'm at the point where, like, I could see something that merits anxiety and know that even though I know it's okay, the anxiety is a little bit warranted, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are other times where there are situations that I know I shouldn't be anxious over or experiencing some type of anxiety over, but sometimes it's either, you know, okay, fuck that, just don't think about it, or there are some times where you just kind of, like, obsess about this thing that you really shouldn't necessarily obsess about.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of creates, like, I don't know. It's almost is kind of a way, like, it almost just kind of creates some kind of, like, need for, like, homeostasis. Like, you don't really, it's like an artificial homeostasis because everything is really fine, you know, but for some reason, like, you need to, like, be affirmed that it's fine. And
what do you usually look to confirm that, to be reassured that everything is fine?
It either requires, like, a, you know, it either requires, like, some deep, like, kind of, like, realistic thought where you, like, have to, like, completely, where you really have to, like, pull yourself aside and say, you know, like this is, it's not, this is really not worth it. Like what the fuck are you doing here? Or there are times where like, you know, I don't know, you need some, like some type of like third party confirmation, like, you know, your boss paying you a compliment or something like that. Just kind of like, you know, just kind of let you know, at least until you start worrying about it again, until everything's all right.
Is anxiety genetic, like depression, I imagine? I don't really know.
I think that it definitely can be, especially when it kind of finds itself, like, not just this like internal anxiety, but it comes into channels of like how you're behaving and acting. I think that like family can pass that on, like that,
either
that can be very
early or
yeah, like, if like, you know, just say like I always saw my, as an example, just say I always saw my mom, when she would get anxious, she would act a certain way, she'd behave a certain way, she would say specific things, and her mom did the same thing. I think that that can be like very learned behavior as like a reaction to something that anyone can you know, have to deal with.
And a very, like, a good example of that for me is, like, my mom has some kind of, like, anxiety-rooted type of thing or whatever, you know, and she's on medications that, you know, I don't really, like, you know, I don't really ask her about it. You know, it's her business. She seems to be doing quite fine. But, like, a learned behavior is, like, just getting extremely pissed off about something that's completely minuscule. And that's like something that like I picked up on from her. And like, it's just like, it's one of these kind of things where like, you know, my mom could get mad, you know, like she's like a, like my mom's like a 6 foot tall woman and stuff like that. Like, you know, she could get mad and there wasn't a whole lot of people there that.
Adam's a giant person, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Both in real life and in the bedroom.
Yeah. And believe me, she would know. I love you so much.
That's
for saying
the
that.
Joke. No, I'm also, my thing that I do is when we get like really serious about like, I lost my dad to cancer, or my mom has horrible anxiety, and me just going, he has a giant wang.
Okay.
Or just belching loudly into like, like, Cindy was pouring her heart out in an episode, and I was just like,
yeah, she belched. Cindy was like, and then my dad died, and Jess was like,
yeah, sorry, that's the thing that I do. I'm gonna make it weird.
Okay,
and ruin it.
No, that's no problem.
No, I like
it's
breaking,
actually not ruined at all.
I like
I
breaking.
Think it made it, made it better.
Thank
actually.
You.
There's no story in the world that can ever be ruined by you complimenting my penis. Okay. Oh my god, Jess, I just need to tell you, like, I have cancer. Oh, baby, that's so horrible. But goddamn, your dick was
no,
just looking so huge that day. You shaved it so close. Like, and it was, God, it was so good.
Sorry, Gigi. We knew this was going to happen.
I feel like this
it's gonna happen
awkward,
a lot more.
Like, third wheel out of date where you're, like, overhearing some other couple's date and you're like, whoa, did I just hear that?
You've been around us before, so you should know this is
nothing
shy.
I'm not,
like,
yeah, let's say, yeah, no, she's actually, yeah, she's, this is,
you're probably
she's,
in the back of mind thinking that this could be a lot worse.
Yeah, they're not being nearly as gross as they
he's actually are. He's actually talked about real stuff. When the hell was that supposed to happen?
Wait, he's not talking about Batman.
I just thought I thought you just told him to pick a topic and then we could all come over and talk about, you know,
right.
Sex and stuff like that.
My boyfriend actually tried to do comedy for a minute. We always talk about comedy on this show.
Yeah.
Like, it eventually all comes back to comedy.
Right.
So.
Right. And I'll tell you, like, I had a little bit of, like, some light anxiety, you know, like, on the stage and stuff like that. And, like, and leading into it. And it was blatantly obvious the first time around. Like,
how many times did you actually end up doing it?
I think three.
Three. And they were all three at Funny Stop, correct?
All three of them were at Funny Stop. And I think
that's impressive.
Yeah, the third one was the better one of
so,
the three.
Like, I mean, because there's no reason for me to lie, I would tell you if he even like remotely bombed, three times didn't bomb. Like, three times did not bomb.
Oh, I
Funny
appreciate
Stop.
That.
Like, that, but like that never happens. I've been to Funny Stop like eight times and have bombed five. So like,
no, I mean
it's
like,
very...
it's like it's one of these things where like I, you know, a lot of the material and stuff. I mean, like you say it, like, you know, you said we've laughed a lot. Like, you know, I mean, I could be funny and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the. It's
how
the,
did you deal with the anxiety of like, because that is literally like
okay.
the situation
well,
that probably makes people the most terrified.
Yeah.
Okay, well, like it all came down to. All right, we'll get into that. Okay, this is cool. This is going to
oh,
be
like he's like shifting
okay.
in his seat, like he was just
yeah.
getting ready to throw down. It was like this really like oh shit,
I'm
it's
trying,
on now.
You know, I realize we do have an hour to kill him. Like I want to give you the best possible answer
I appreciate
that I can, and like, you know, there's no reason you invited me here, which I really appreciate. So there's no reason to sell you short on
what you can, and you only have to talk about what you're comfortable talking about. Like,
I got both.
Whatever you're comfortable with, potentially dozens of people hearing in a few weeks.
Right, right. Dude, believe me, I'm sure people see me make an ass out of myself all the time. Like, this is just like a free gift.
Right? Like, you're just giving this one away.
Exactly. So, just let me explain this the best I can. And if you guys have any questions or anything like that, just please feel free
to ask. That's what we're here for.
Okay. So, all right. So it initially started with like the writing of the routine or whatever. Mm. So like that's you know, first you, okay, actually I should strike that. First you had asked me to do it. And then once the decision was made to do it, you kind of get into like deadline mode. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Where like there's number one, like there's just this like kind of like, leveling anxiety kind of like looming over you, not leveling, what the fuck am I talking about? Like an umbrella of anxiety that just kind of hovers over you, you know? And so you have this. So then the second step was actually like writing down the actual like material and stuff like that, which it was like handwritten on a piece of paper, like just every single word that you're going to say, like front and back of like a 8.5 by 11 legal paper or whatever, just so we can paint the full picture of what I'm talking about here for you guys. So once I read through it and kind of realized with like the A, B, C, D jokes were different ways to call, do different ways to do callbacks if there even was going to do one, you know, like maybe different like vocalic and tonal patterns and rhythms and things involving hand gestures, like body ticks and stuff like that.
You like, you know, put like way more thought than any comedian who has ever
I'm sitting here into it. And I almost did it and I was
no wonder you quit. You were probably fucking exhausted after your third time.
So like once you... Okay, so like, so then, so here's like the so we have this, okay?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like you have this like kind of at least, you know, analytical idea of what your routine is going to be.
Yeah.
And like we're talking even kind of like, even like these kind of like you know, like hidden kind of jokes that are maybe like self-deprecating and stuff like that. Like how I would maybe might come in here and be like, oh my God, you know, and you say it in ways that are like, you know, hey, I walked into the room and oh my God, my tall ass hit this thing. That was stupid me, you know, like those kinds of jokes and ways to deliver like humor like that. So you have like, you have have this detail of everything you're going to do.
Did all this prep sort of help alleviate the anxiety that you inevitably?
So that's where it kind of, well, I mean, I know I'm kind of like, I should have.
I'm high, so I'm not quite sure how long that you've been talking. Yeah, that's my one thing. I'm like, has he been talking for 12 minutes or 12 seconds?
It's only been like, I think a couple, but sure I should have cropped that down.
No, you're
fine. Like, I try not to get like too tangenty here, but
no. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Yeah, we're queen of the queen of the tangents here.
Okay.
Like anytime you feel like you've been talking for way too long about a tangent, I guarantee you we've talked way longer.
Well, I do it on the other podcast, but that thing goes for like 2.5 hours.
I do. His podcast is 2.5 hours. And I feel really bad. I'm going to confess to you. I have not listened to a whole episode because it's just so long.
Oh, I know it's long. I don't listen to the whole thing.
No, I just feel like as your girlfriend, I feel like it's I need to be more loyal to your.
No, it's not like that at all. Believe me. And like I said, like the, you know, the topic that we do, the podcast we do is more topical. So like if it's not a topic,
you guys talk about comic book stuff. It's like new movie
stuff.
It's
just like everything. I mean, we have like a list of ideas, like ranging. You know,
This is why you want to listen to my show.
I'm not going to do. But we do like, you know, honestly, like what it is. It's and I'm not. I'm not going to like dress it up or anything like that. It's just, it's me and my friend and our thoughts on different kind of elements of pop culture. Like, we even do these kind of like episodes where we had talked about like the potential of like a third world war and like how that would impact like the world and stuff like that. You know, so there are times where it's like a little bit more serious. And then we've actually just kind of like, have even done episodes like, cause number one, like it's one of my good friends from like way back in the day, but him and I haven't had this like a lot of contact, like, you know, outside of like Facebook and stuff like that for like, you know, since high school and everything. I'd honestly be surprised if I had saw him once, like, you know, since I've been 21 years old, you know.
Yeah.
So we've even just been kind of doing these like sometimes where you just kind of like talk about life and like, you know, just kind of like as a way for, you know, to get kind of familiar with my friend and stuff like that and kind of have discussions about things that are, you know, not necessarily like not necessarily like everybody's reaction to a very, very common thing. Of course, we're going to talk about The Last Jedi and Blade Runner and like, you know, different movies and stuff like that, you know, but it's not like every podcast is like, okay, Trump did the, you know what I'm saying? And then or.
So you guys are kind of a cornucopia of like a bunch of like sci-fi, but also like pop culture.
It's like pretty much like everything. And we have like, we even have this like, like list of like stuff. Yeah.
It kind of sounds like Trivial Pursuit for a podcast. Like you have categories.
My one friend.
Get a piece of that pack.
Yeah. My one friend, Matt Pagel, who's the host of it. And he's the one who started up everything. It's his baby. Like he's extremely intelligent. I somehow seem to, I learn this like every single week. And there are times where I may feel like a little bit like puffy chest and consider myself to be somewhat of an intelligent individual. And then there are times when like him and I talk and I'm just like, I'm fucking nowhere near this motherfucking dude. Like, I'm just like, we were having this conversation about like the cultural impact of like serial killers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And on history and like, you know, just like little things like what, how
Uber
we
rides.
Would view it. And stuff. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. And like, he just, you know, he's talking about this like scientific database that's out there that like analyzes murder patterns throughout the country to like help predict like serial killer behavior and stuff.
I need to listen to that episode.
Yeah. It's not bad actually. It really isn't. And like, you know, this whole system and stuff like that, which I had no idea about. He like knew about it like it was the back of his hand. You know what I'm saying? And like the dude's just like insanely like intelligent. So that's the podcast thing. If you guys want to check it out, I'll do a little quick promotion here. Just to throw one.
No, you spent enough time talking about this podcast. Oh. You're not allowed to talk about it anymore. You have maximized the amount of time. I'm causing him so much anxiety right now.
Right.
He's completely having an anxious.
Just wait till we get into like the second half of the show where I describe an actual anxiety attack. For
guys. Well, let's do this because we actually are on the second half of the show.
So just let me wrap up really quick with the thing.
With the stand up.
Yeah. So just really quick on I totally forgot this what we were talking about from the beginning.
That's what we does.
So like it basically like I was looking at. Like, you know, when you start to like learn like where people are hopefully going to laugh and stuff like that, you start to like go through each situation. Like, well, what if they don't laugh here? Then like, you know, you kind of have this.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, it's going to be fine. Like, you know, you just have to remember that this is your first time. You don't fucking think you're going to do this forever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you just kind of have to like talk yourself out. Yeah, exactly. And then, you're basically like, I analyzed like every single possible outcome that could possibly happen the very, very first time that I went up on stage to do comedy, except for one. And that was, I totally forgot that you could not see the audience when you're on stage. So because I had considered everything else except this, I was completely unprepared for that. And it like threw a little bit of a rift in there. But once I got through it and realized that like, number one, that I did it. So like, I mean, so it's done. Like you at least
did it at a fucking comedy club all three times. Right. He never did a goddamn open mic. He went straight to a goddamn comedy club and did it.
So like the yeah,
and funny stop of all places,
right?
Yeah, it's nothing to get excited.
Why the funny
about.
Stops?
No, hey, people have to hear this.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. We call Pete crazy all the time.
Yeah, sorry. He is.
Pete, just know that the opinions reflected by Adam Chmielewski are those of his own and not of the Default Setting.
Yes, they are. They are mine. I am owning up to that.
No, she's, you've been to the Funny Stop. You're well-versed in the Funny Stop. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just funny because, like, there's so many dudes who will, like, the first 2 months they ever do this are literally open mics. Like, they can't even get on a stage that books, like, Pauly Shore and Steve Harvey and Nikki Glaser. Yeah. And, like, you right now, like, the only 3 times you ever did comedy was, like, on that fucking stage.
Well, like,
so you're saying between the fact that you prepped a lot for what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then having that experience of having gone up there once eliminated a ton of the anxiety. Anyone who normally doesn't have an anxiety,
and that's why like in the second and third times I thought went a little bit better. The the third time around there was like one botched like line that really like totally threw off. I was getting into this like great joke about like her positioning or propositioning me with a three-way and stuff. And it was like this really great monologue that I had written in the car, like talking on my phone, like on the way to her house one day. And like when I had that, that was like another unexpected thing. I didn't like, what if I screw up myself? But I somehow managed to get myself out of it. And it was towards the end of it. So it was just like, get to the quick punchline like, and get out
quick on your feet. Yeah. With
yeah.
That, yeah.
Oh yeah. So, I mean like if I were to ever like do like an open mic at the Avenue,
The Avenue Tap House every Sunday, 7 PM.
The Red Light Showcase.
The Red Light Showcase. We get the Red Light Showcase.
All through the night.
We're just singing different songs. This is fantastic.
It was TLC's Red Light Special. It's okay,
I was singing Ludacris.
Oh,
when he was instead I'm in the red light district. Yeah, when I was singing the Red Light Showcase.
I always do it. We're in the warehouse district.
When we were in Amsterdam, guess what he did every day?
Oh. Yep. Oh, and I did it with pride, and I'll fucking do it again.
But most of the time, it was true. So, I mean, you couldn't really fault
him. We were technically in the Red Light District. I guess I could have announced it in a different way. But
no, I think that was it.
He could have done Roxanne the whole time, and then I would have just thrown myself in the canal.
Not really a big police fan.
Yeah, I mean... No one under the age of 50 really is. So we were talking about, one other thing I wanted to ask you, anxiety related with being on stage. So did you find, especially your second and third time, having that spotlight and not being able to see the audience an advantage to eliminating anxiety? Because I do personally.
After I had realized that the first time around,
that'd be easier.
I don't know, like for some reason, like I kind of like envisioned like how you see it in like a Netflix special where like, you know, you have the ability to like see people and stuff, you know, or maybe and even do like maybe one of those casual like points when you make like a sex joke or something like that.
Winking the gun.
Yeah. To my girlfriend who was in the audience.
Yeah.
So when I actually tried to do the wink and a gun thing, it turned out to be some like really ugly old dude in the front.
the light comes out, you're like,
ugh. Yeah, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, believe me, I've been there before.
So you said the second and third time it was a little bit.
Yeah, it was a little bit easier. And like, you know, and just kind of like some of the discussions that you and I had like in the car, like riding down and back about the whole experience. Like, you know, it did. It made it a lot easier.
Well, I think also in like preparing for something like that, there's a lot of things where, you know, I could write a bunch of things down to prepare that I think are really funny. But then it's like, okay, well, what are people actually going to react to? Are people going to think that same thing is funny or this other random bit that's like a side piece that they laugh hysterically at, that would be like really interesting to see.
Yeah. So like,
and also frustrating at the same time.
Right.
You're like, I worked on
that's
this
one. What the funny part
was. Exactly.
This is where the funny stops.
Right. And like, she had given me this like little like journal book with Kanye West on it. It says like, hurry up with my damn croissants. He's a god.
Inspires us all.
He is a god. No. And like, so, you know, like there are some times, like I probably have like, you know, like 25 to 30% of it just like filled up with like random things, you know, and there's stuff in there that I feel like, that I feel is like actually like really good stuff. Like there's this like little bit that I had written about, like I told you yesterday about getting robbed when I was delivering pizzas and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, there was this like, but I turned it into this like pretty decent monologue about like who is actually the person who's worse off in this situation, the guy who got robbed for pizza or the dude who had to rob for pizza. And I kind of turned it into this, like, you know, just like a couple pages of ideas.
Oh, like they stole the pizza?
Yeah, they robbed me for pizza. Oh. I didn't get robbed.
I know, that's what I was like,
God
bless.
See, that's why I don't do stand-up comedy anymore, because I should have set that up in the beginning.
Oh, no, you learned. That's the thing.
So like I didn't get robbed for any money, but he took pizza. So I had written this joke about like what is worse, like Adam Chmielewski, the delivery driver who just got robbed, or the guy who had a bunch of guys surround me and take pizza.
The most they got was
me.
I mean, that's shitty pizza.
Premeditated pizza right there.
Right, exactly. Yeah, for sure. Pizza on the first degree. Yeah.
First degree burn. Cheese burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the ham horn
we need? Ham pizza.
Ham.
Hawaiian pizza.
Oh, God, I do want some pizza.
I
didn't even work out today either. But
so that's kind of the thing that I was like, what's interesting to me to discover about your anxiety is where, how far back it's rooted, because having known the experiences you've been through with that robbery, you've been assaulted, you got jumped. You were telling me you've been hit in the face twice with a bat.
Yep.
What?
One was on my own. I did it myself the first time.
but like
that's why men have shorter lives.
I tried to hit a softball like in a stupid direction, and like I just literally like it was like I wrapped myself and like kind of cranked it. Dumb thing. The second time was when I got
Yeah. You got jumped.
Yeah, exactly.
So that kind of stuff is like, totally yeah, no me. Wonder you'd have like fucking anxiety out the ass. Now, do you think your anxiety, I mean, it seems like a really silly question, but did it get worse? Did it stay the same? Is it lessened by any of those things?
Well, I'd have to say, like, in reference to the robbery part, like, I'm still, like, a little, like, look over the shoulder type thing when I'm walking around at night. Like, I don't think that that's ever really going to go away. You know, yeah. Just we live in, like, the city environment, too.
Do you
know
think,
what I'm
like,
saying?
Other, like, a lot of other guys do that? Or, like, maybe just guys who have, like, had experiences like that?
I don't know. I think some, like, general concern for your overall safety is inherent in everybody. You know, like, any one of us, especially, like, where I got robbed. I mean, I got robbed, like, on, even though, like, Ohio City is, like, nice, you know, like, by Cleveland standards, there's still, like...
There's so many break-ins
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. And, like... So, like, where I was walking at night, like, I will tell you this, like, I had walked this area... 1,000 times, 1,000 motherfucking times. The one time that I kind of like, you know, like, hey, I got invited to this party, you know, and it's like, yeah. You know, hey, let's go to this fucking party. And like, I was, my neighbor's behind me, you know, I probably talked to him like a, you know, 2 or 3 times or whatever my entire life. I'm like, didn't have anything to do. So I'm like, yeah, I'll go to this party. So I'm like walking, I'm listening to the MGMT's Oracular Spectacular, and like these guys jump me. And ever since that day, I have, number one, never ever walked on that part of the street, like, when it's night, ever again. And I just have been, like, a little, if the street's empty, you know, I'm not that motherfucking person that's, like, you know, like, looking around all over the place completely worried. But, like, if there's, like, people out and about and it's nice or a night outside and stuff like that, it's, I don't know. I just think that there's this always your like a spidey sense kind of thing like about.
I was raised that way. Like my mom, my grandmother raised me to believe like everyone was out to like murder and rape me all the time. So
I feel like I would be more cautious in looking around when I don't see people.
I gotcha. No, like there's a certain creepiness in solace.
I don't know if it's just because like I'm a girl or I just am like
seen too many horror movies
with my like surroundings or what, but like. When I'm walking to my bus, like in the morning, it's pitch black. Usually at night in the winter, it's pitch black as well. So it's you know, I'm not like, like an old horror movie.
I'm
or
just
something.
A vision of you like doing that, like running down the street, looking over your shoulders with your eyes like bugging, and then just being like everything just being like a leaf would fall, and you'd be like, and then just start running like flailing down the street, like running and screaming, and everyone's just watching you going.
I used to be a barista at Starbucks, and I opened every morning, so I had to be at work
That's
at 5:30 in the morning. Uh-huh. Which meant I caught my bus on Clifton in Lakewood at 5.
Yeah.
No matter the weather, no matter what was going on. And it got to a point where I was like, I'm not in a bad neighborhood, but why do I not feel safe? Because there's nobody awake.
That's a great point.
There's nobody out. Yeah. It was so creepy. No cars, no movement, nothing. Mm-hmm. And that made me really on edge. It was this like deafening silence. Yeah. And I was like, and I started sprinting to the bus stop every day. I'm a really fast runner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to the point where I'm like, if I'm running, chances are they're going to be like,
no, it's too
lazy. Yeah. Like,
right,
no way.
Right.
So anyways.
Yeah. Like, see, I see an empty street and I'm just like, I could easily like break out in a song and swing on the telephone poles and try to parkour on shit. Like, I mean, that just to me is like, honest to God, that is like one of the greatest sights ever, because there are times where like, I just like random people and like people in general, you know, there's a lot of nice, like kind-hearted, really sweet, hardworking, throw in as many compliments as you want to type individuals out there. But there's a lot of people out there that are just fucking morons and have a tendency of their own existence to somehow screw up your entire being. You know what I'm saying? They don't even have to be talking to you. They don't even have to be like within your space cushion. But their utter existence just somehow like throws you off. You know what I'm saying? So like I see like the empty, like when I used to leave your apartment on like, you know, on 12th and stuff like that, like at 5:30 in the morning when I'd go to gym, man, it was just like when I open up the fucking door and I'm just like, start spreading the news. Like I can just
no
like,
one out there.
Yeah. It's like the greatest goddamn thing ever. You know, you imagine
I wish
like,
I'd actually been awake to see
you imagine
that,
like a camera's on you, some birds drop off a jacket that I left
again,
upstairs, you know,
Adam's
like,
a giant monster
amazing.
Person. So if you can picture a giant monster person,
just
like
kaiju just
singing
walking
in the rain, skipping down the street,
I go, go to throw my arm up in the air and like hit somebody behind me. Well, it's just randomly there. Yeah, exactly.
The fuck did hit that a helicopter. Bird come from? Yeah.
Jesus Christ, this goddamn Wolfpack helicopter. Where the hell did that come from?
Is that a paper cut? Nope, just a helicopter blade. So you mentioned anxiety is still kind of within you, for sort of ever present, you would say. Like, mm-hmm. And is it almost kind of comforting to have like a constant, like some form of nagging at you?
At times, maybe.
Yeah.
But I guess like there's some like level of comfort we all have in maybe like, you know, looking for something within like a bad habit we might have or something like a default setting, you know, mm-hmm. there's some type of like just kind of comfort in routine, I guess maybe. And at times, yes, it almost maybe seems like just like a way for you to maybe like get yourself out of like a shitty situation, okay. You know, like if you ever, just like the whitest example possible. And I'm not referencing like Caucasianness or anything, but like if you're at the DMV, and, you know, you, like, go through all that fucking time at the DMV and you get to the front of the counter and it turns out you don't have the thing you need or you forgot to get your e-check or something nightmare. Like that. You know, the people there are, like, sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're not. The ones that are nice are the ones that are going to stick out in your mind. So, mm-hmm. like, there are times where, like, you know, you obviously have just been burned. So you're, like, just sitting in your car, just, like, you're so fucking frustrated that, number one, you put all this effort into something to go nowhere. And then maybe, like, you kind of fall back into like an anxious place where you start to like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just like one of these things just like being like, just fuck that stupid idiot. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like you somehow kind of like rationalize the situation to your advantage, like in any way, shape or form mm-hmm. that you can, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, it's just like, oh, fuck them. It's just a fucking DMV. You know, they don't run my life, like that kind of crap, you know? Or, you know, you maybe just kind of like sit there and then like all of a sudden, like every bad time you've ever been to the DMV, like comes into your mind, you know, or something like that.
Do you find that draining at all? Like, is it tiring to kind of run through all that stuff?
It definitely, yes. Oh, yeah. So like, I think that sometimes like it could take situations that are normally stressful and make them incredibly stressful. But then there are also some times that I think like you just maybe in experiences, you learn to deal with like more situations. So you kind of have a lot of familiarity with a lot of different situations that you can handle, you know, so mm-hmm. it doesn't happen like that the next time.
Okay. So do you think it's a lot of it's preventive to sort of help you be aware of what to expect in the future?
I think so. And it all basically comes down to like what I think of every single time is like, I just imagine like what somebody else is looking at when they see me in somewhat of like an anxious state. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So like if it's at the DMV and it's like one of these things where like, you know, I really don't want to fucking be there, you know? And like, you know, it's just, you're, you know, maybe you do like a lot of like this kind of stuff where your hands shifting. Are in and out of your pockets and
so
stuff like that.
Back to the sort of fidgeting.
Yeah.
Sort of
like. So you're just like, you're kind of like, I imagine like, or even like when you're at the window and stuff like that and all this dumbass crap is going on and you're like right now just like feeling like just completely like pissed off. You know, I start to imagine like what it's like if you're looking at that situation, like if you are the third party looking at me, because when I see that kind of stuff, because everybody sees people being jackasses all the time and stuff like that. You know, we do live in the world. And, I just imagine like how much I hate looking at that guy mm-hmm. and that kind of like in many ways like keeps me grounded and stuff like that.
Okay. So like actually putting the pressure on yourself of saying like, don't be that guy actually makes the anxiety.
Yeah. The phrase like, don't be that guy could easily be printed on my fucking tombstone. Yeah. Okay. Like
died trying not to be that guy.
The only guy that you are ever supposed to be is the dude who wears a concert shirt of the band you are going to see. That's the only guy you should ever be.
You should be that guy.
You should be.
I don't think I've ever seen you wear the shirt of the concert or the band.
Yeah. I don't really have a lot of band t-shirts.
That's
like not
really
as much
weird,
as I
ironic.
Need.
So you like seeing people at a show wearing that band's t-shirt.
That's what I'm trying to establish.
I think that yeah.
You should be that person.
Be that person. You show your fandom. Who cares? Like, you know, I mean,
I'm not judging. That's an interesting perspective.
But honestly, like that whole, okay, just to give everybody, like in case people out there don't know about this, the phrase like, the band, the shirt of the band you're going to go see, and don't be that guy. That was popularized by this movie called...
Oh, that's a saying. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's in a movie. It's in this movie called PCU, and Jeremy Piven is like this, you know, the 38-year-old dude who lives in the dorms and stuff like that, you know, and John Favreau, Iron Man John Favreau. He is like the big, lunky, like, you know, white guy with dreads who's in the dorms too, you know, and he's wearing this cutoff t-shirt from this band called the Merkins. And
the Merkins!
Yeah, so like he walks into the room and he's just like, yeah, the Merkins are playing a show down at, you know, wherever. And Jeremy Piven's like, so you're wearing a t-shirt of the band you're going to see. And he's like, don't be that guy. So that's where this whole thing comes from. Okay. It's like one of these things where like,
so you don't want to be that guy, but you also want to have like your own sort of.
Oh, I think, no, I said, like, yeah, there are several guys not to be. It's okay to be the dude wearing a shirt of the band you're going to go see. Like, I think if we're all kind of taking life advice from Jeremy Piven and PCU,
Well, I heard that it's dumb to wear the shirt to the band.
Believe me, that's why they sell the shirts there. Cause
I wear it.
Yeah.
I do it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, really, to, like, my two favorite. You know, like to war paint and then the XX. That's like the only time.
Yeah.
You also have Sade.
Sade. Okay. I have not been to a Sade show.
Oh, man.
I think I would have like a happy heart attack. I actually had a thought about it. Like an anxious thought the other day out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And was like, thought of my Sade shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Then thought of Sade.
Mm-hmm.
How much I love her.
Yeah.
How much I want her to be my grandmother. And then like. Was like, oh my God, I've never been to a show.
Yeah.
What if like someone surprised me and took me to the show? That would be so amazing.
Yeah. Oh,
what if I just went to a show? Does she still perform?
Right.
I feel like I would freak out. I think I would be so overcome with emotion. I would be so obnoxious. Right. I don't think I should go to a go to a concert. What if I'm like super disappointed? Maybe I should
just listen. All this anxiety is just coming out in like a fucking tsunami right now.
Yeah. It was insane. And all of a sudden I was just like, oh my God, what is going on? Like, I just snapped out of it, but it was this weird.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I love her so much.
Yeah. Like, I had like a little bit of a moment like that.
And it's fascinating to me. I love it. No, I'm not criticizing. Oh, yeah. I've never had that. Like, I've recently.
I don't have that about like many things, but like now and then I'll just be like,
kind of fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, like when it comes to like stuff like that, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just like your natural like train of thought. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay for you to like, to think about that kind of stuff. Like the problem is like when it happens all the time, you know what I'm saying?
So is your anxiety something that you've ever wanted to manage, or is it like me and my anxiety, we got a thing going and we've a understanding
it's actually very great that you bring that up, because I'm in like a position where I am kind of like indirectly forced to like manage my anxiety, because I've had anxiety attacks, which are not fun. It's really not fun, actually, and it's something that I never have ever had experienced before. And so in order to like kind of ensure that these don't happen anymore, I have no choice but to manage it now. You know what I'm saying? Like any you know, kind of defaulting back to it, or kind of living in this like moment of anxiety for comfort, is if it does happen, it has to be very, very limited, because I just don't really ever want to go through what I've gone through again.
As far as anxiety attacks?
Yeah. And I've had two like 100% attacks in my life.
What happened?
Well, the first time around I was at this record store in Lakewood, and I was buying Ghostface Killah tickets. This was in 2014. Nice. And this guy in front of me was taking forever to get out of line. And I was just like, I mean, it was just like one of these things where like they're having this like conversation about like, you know, the first time he's ever had heard the Beatles or something like that, you know, like just like, can I just buy these tickets and get the hell out of here kind of thing, you know? And like, you know, just like fidgeting and stuff like that. And like, it was it wasn't necessarily just the situation that did it. It was kind of like, I think like a lot of anxiety building up and then just finally let go. And I, like this dumbass finally left the line. I took one step and fucking hit my face on their counter. Oh, like, I mean, it was, imagine like you wake up all of a sudden, like you're
like, you, like, what do you mean?
Fell forward under their counter.
You like fell?
Yeah, like
you blacked
like
out?
I just completely collapsed. Like, imagine, oh, like, God. Just imagine, like, for the way Mike Russell puts it is, like, I just thought you literally just decided to die right there. And, like, I remember, like, I remember the feeling of, like, number one, smashing my face on the counter. And then I remember, like slamming my head onto the side of the – or onto the floor. Ugh. And, like, this guy was, like, shaking me and stuff like that. Like, you know, like, what's going on, you know? And then, of course, like, you know, like, for, like, all of, like, 30 seconds, you know, like, everybody's comforting. And then the minute your conscience is, like, get the fuck out of the store, you know,
really?
What I'm saying?
Just so liability shit.
It's, like, one of those kind of things. You know, it wasn't necessarily – they weren't, like, as forthcoming about it, but it's clearly, like, you really shouldn't be in there. Because, like, to them, like, I could just be some dude on – like, ODing right there in the store.
So in that, like, particular situation – what was making you most anxious about that? Was it the waiting and not knowing and, like, dealing with other people? Or was it afraid – was it fear-based where you were afraid you weren't going to get tickets somehow because this guy was taking up too much time?
It was just, like, a straight-up annoyance factor. Like, it was, like – yeah, like, the grog shop itself, the show didn't even sell out.
I don't think
out.
I've ever,
like,
heard of that.
Yeah, it's, like –
I'm not going to lie.
So couldn't you really describe it as an anxiety attack if frustration is really what kicked it off?
Well, like, clearly, like –
well, I think that that's like that's kind of like something that was like the set off point. Mm-hmm. But in, like I said, I've had four of them total. So like in describing like what I had described to my doctor when I had went, you know, like in October or whatever, mm-hmm. like the weekend we got Soma,
this kitty.
Yeah. And like, you know, I'm all like hooked up to like all these machines and stuff like that. And just, you know, they're kind of like trying to figure out what's going on and stuff like that. And like they tell me like that's what it is and stuff. Okay. And like I even remember, like, you know, so if you like just so like frustration. Yeah, that's totally a good point. But like so the second time it kind of happened, like I was frustrated because this. My mom like walked into like a cell phone store and this dude was just like totally giving her the fucking run around. And all I really want to do is chew out this guy, but mm-hmm. I can't do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, it just became like really annoying. And like, I've started to feel lightheaded. Like I got to like almost the point where I was going to black out, but I was able to pull myself out of it and spent $27 on stuff to drink at Panera at the place next door.
Well, and like the thing is, my brother was really tall and he grew really fast, which I don't remember.
Yeah, I think there was this point in time where like it was kind of like, you know, I was always like bigger and then I just became
really big.
Tall guys
just have such a long way for their circulation to go that like stuff that makes you physically react to emotional stimulus, I think impacts you that much more because, mm-hmm. you know, it's harder for blood and oxygen to get to your head because you're a fucking
beast. And like the
tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I remember the last time it happened, we were at this club in Akron. We were seeing this band called Deer Hunter and the opening act was like, it was something I was just like not feeling, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and it was one of these deals where like, I was really happy to like, you know, be going down to the show. I hadn't like gone to a show with my buddy in a while. And like, I just kind of wanted to like skip through all the dumb shit and just get to the fun part of like seeing the band I wanted to see and all
most
the drinking
people hate,
and
like,
stuff.
Sitting through the openers or standing through them.
It was one of those times where like, I mean, this particular opener, I mean, it was like this girl playing an acoustic guitar who like, she like sung like this, like that Sugar Rose band where it was like her own language and shit like that. And I mean, like, I was just like, I was dying. Okay. Like I was seriously, like I was going outside to smoke cigarettes, like probably like every like 5 or 10 minutes just because it was something to do. Like I literally wanted to either be drinking or smoking or something in every minute of the day until Deer Hunter came on, just because you just wanted this fucking show to happen. You're so happy. You got all this like, hey, you're all fired up and stuff. And then like, I was standing there and I told my friend, I'm like, I got to
mid-sentence.
Yeah. And then like my buddy Chuck shows up out of nowhere. And I was just like, I told him, I'm like, look, man, like, I would love to hang out. I haven't seen you in a while. I hope you're doing good. And he just had a fucking heart attack too, which was weird. And I was just like, yeah, like I just can't. Like, you know, I'm like sitting there and like, I mean, it was one of these things where like it took me probably about like 45 minutes to be able to stand. Like, I mean, like everything was just like completely like sucked out of me. But I'll tell you, the next day, aside from the fact that I hurt my leg, I felt amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember like you had picked me up at the apartment because I didn't want to drive. And like, I was just like, I was like,
hey, so don't freak out. Yeah. But there was an incident.
Yeah. I was just like, I was telling Mike on the car ride home, like, you can't, I was debating on telling you about it. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
not telling me, which would have been
We were still like, you know, kind of fresh into our relationship at that time, like very, very fresh actually. And, I almost think that we had made things serious like the week before this happened. And, I was just like, yeah, I don't know if I would do this. Like, how the fuck? And then, like, I was just like, I'm like, yeah, I want to go over her house. But I'm like, I'm not getting behind the wheel of a car. So you had came to pick me up.
And you had anxiety about telling me that you almost passed out.
And like, yeah.
This is the most, I would say, firsthand example of any default setting I think we've ever discussed on the show. Like, we actually got to, like.
And if we had more time, I would have kind of gotten into detail about how all these anxiety attacks. And then in 2015, I just randomly like spit up a bunch of blood. And because it's because of my teeth. My teeth were like just all this plaque is just like completely like ravaging my mouth, which I found out later. And then So then like you remember the spots I used to have on my chest?
Yeah.
So then that
my boyfriend's medical history is going into the podcast. So, like, you'll find out he's STD free, hopefully, in this whole rant. Or yeah, I will or something.
P-U-L-L-I-N apostrophe So yeah, just to cap it off, this whole kind of thing, the umbrella of that anxiety that I've had over me for the last up until October 1st of this year was whether or not I was going to have cancer at some point in time.
Oh, wow.
And I got, you know, blood work and everything done, but like there was this point in time where all this stuff kind of going at it, you know, all of this kind of stuff happening, you know, and I'm sitting in my apartment watching Creed, that and like the new Rocky movie and stuff like that. Yeah. And Rocky faints, and then like Deadpool faints. So like in the movie, like fainting
spoilers
equals cancer in movies and stuff like that.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then there was something about like 2017 where I had maybe realized that you were going to be around a while, and I wanted to make sure that I was alive
around for me to be around. I appreciate that. Although I do like the fact that I am, I'm 1 year and 364 days older than him.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think that because of the fact that men die younger, but I am older, that we'll die about the same time. Because
we already discussed murder suicide.
Oh yeah, we did discuss murder suicide.
Yeah.
We gotta wrap this up, but I want to thank our guest Adam Chimaluzzi.
Thank you
guys for having me. This could have gone on for a lot longer. We hardly talked about anxiety. It was mostly blind porn. And
I know, this is what happens. We get on our tangents, and then it's so rare that we get guests both like you and John who actually like talk. Like I feel like I have to pull teeth half the time to like.
You brought me down here to have a discussion. I wasn't, you know.
Have a fucking discussion.
You're going to have a fucking discussion.
Gigi, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram, ggchick, g.g.chick.
I am at epicfaul, E-P-I-C-F-A-U-L, on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me every Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Avenue Tap House Red Light Showcase. I want to thank OK Pants at OK Pants on all the social media for doing our logo. Pete Milk, Milky Way Recordings, for putting up with us when we all have the weed high that makes you talk for 16 hours straight. He still only charges me for an hour. And I also want to thank our network of Above Below Entertainment and Lousy Weather Media for taking care of us. We did not use the ham horn at the end of the last podcast. Gigi has recently downloaded the ham horn.
Oh, nice.
The ham horn is our ghetto cheap way to do sound effects until we finally build up enough sponsorship to actually have an actual soundboard.
You mean to tell me it's not Don Draper's dick?
No, it is not Don Draper's dick, the ham horn. But you know what? That's what it should be called. So Gigi, why don't you, I'm going to let you decide what we do with the ham horn this week.
Okay, I'm doing this.
Whoa, that just sounded like a fart. Do it again.
It's supposed to be movie horn, but that sounded like a fart.
It just sounded like a baby. Yeah, totally.
Either that or like a boat.
With the dreams. What's that movie?
What dreams?
Oh, Inception.
Inception.
Oh. I gotcha. It almost kind of seems like a movie trailer music, like whenever they're like it cuts to something, like, you know, you're in, like, you see like a faraway shot of like Dubai, and then it's bomb, and all of a sudden you're a little closer, and then bomb, and it's all of a sudden it's Tom Cruise's beautiful Scientologist ass on the side of a building.
All right, do it one more time. Okay, love you, bye.